It's a way to start church, isn't it? Dear Heavenly Father, you have revealed yourself to us as the Good Shepherd. And when we look at our lives, we acknowledge we need you to be the one who guides us. So I pray this morning we could one more time reconsider the great desire of your heart is to make sure that you get our souls safely home. Grant us this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. My daughter and I like to read Dr. Brené Brown's books. She's an incredibly intelligent lady. She teaches at two universities in Texas. In one university, she's in the psychology department. And in the other university, she teaches at the business school. And on top of that, she runs she owns a research company so she can consult businesses. She has written this book called The Atlas of the Heart. And her thesis is basically, through her research, she found that if you ask people, what emotions do you feel? You basically get the same answer from about 60% of people. And it's three emotions. Happy, sad, angry. It turns out like 60% of the people say that. The sad thing is we have literally hundreds of emotions. And if we can't identify the emotion, then we can't tell why our heart is where it is. And she says, the whole book is about the other emotions we have and being able to recognize them and identify them and make sure they're appropriate to the moment. And she says you can create a heart map. You can say why your heart is where it is because of the dominant emotions that you've had. It's a brilliant book, especially for folks like me who are a little emotionally handicapped. I really like the help. And so she says that by being able to correctly identify my emotions, I can say, I can answer the question, where am I? I mean, emotionally today, where am I? Am I in a healthy spot? She said, you can also answer, how did I get here? This is where I am emotionally, and I got here because of this, this, and this. But even better than that, she says, if you can properly identify your emotions, you can say, I know how to get where I really want to go. These emotions won't get me where I want to go. They got me in the mess I'm in. They're certainly not going to get me out of it. It's a very thoughtful book. It's written in a very readable style. And I've been reading it. As I was reading it this week, I thought to myself, Brené has created this wonderful idea of an emotional map. But King David, 3,000 years ago, created an experience map. Listen at the map of experience. The Lord is my shepherd. So what do I experience? I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. So what do I experience? Green pastures, still waters. the turning of my soul. What do I experience? The paths of righteousness. The Lord is my shepherd. Even in my life experiences of walking through the valley of the shadow of death. The Lord is my shepherd. What do I experience? He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What do I experience? He anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows. The Lord is my shepherd. So what do I experience? Surely, goodness and steadfast love hunt me down every day of my life. But all of that is inferior to what I'm going to experience because the Lord is my shepherd. I will dwell. I will return and live in the house of the Lord forever. Church, that is an experience map. That is a good Christian life experience map. And so David ends his psalm by saying, surely goodness and steadfast love will follow me all the days of my life. The good shepherd doesn't just guide us into healthy places. There's more than that. The good shepherd is in front of us, and we follow him. But there's something following us. If you could see this in the original, it's more than follows, it's hunts me down. I want to read it that way. Goodness and steadfast love are hunting me down every single day. If you think you're being followed, you're right. But you're not being followed by something scary. You've watched too many late Friday night movies when you were a kid. You are not being haunted and hunted down by something ugly and evil. You're being followed. You're being hunted by something beautiful and good. Church. The problem is we have a tendency to read over, surely goodness will follow me all the days of my life. We just read over that, and we don't take a minute and stop and pause and say to ourselves, when I say goodness is hunting me, what do I mean by that? Well, I did some research on goodness this week, and it turns out that goodness is translated differently by different disciplines. So if you study ethics, goodness is a topic in ethics, but is a topic that can't be separated from truth. In ethics, goodness is allowing the truth to have its best effect on you. You experience goodness when truth is most profoundly influencing you. Theology uses the word goodness. In theology, the word goodness has something to do with rightness, moral correctness, moral beauty. Philosophy uses the word goodness. And I've been trying for about 10 years to write this sermon series on beauty, but I'm going to just give you a little taste of it. In philosophy, goodness is beauty. Okay, the problem is, in our culture, we have misdefined beauty. What we call beauty is really glamour. It's not beauty at all. In philosophy, if a woman is drop-dead gorgeous, but mean and nasty and rude and cruel, she's never called beautiful. She may be called gorgeous, stunning, but she's not beautiful. Do you hear this? On the other hand, if a lady is not drop-dead gorgeous, but she has qualities of soul that are kind, good, generous, loving, That is a beautiful woman. Do you see? So we have misdefined beauty as something that has to do with the appearance of somebody, and that's not how Western culture classically defined beauty. All right. So beauty is, in philosophy, it is a quality of soul. All of this got wrecked in the 19th century when economics became a major discipline, and the economic definition of good overwhelmed all the other definitions. In fact, you use it all the time in a way that you're not even aware of. Have you ever heard the phrase goods and services? Goods is an economic word for stuff. So you see what happened, what we did? We connected goodness with stuff. And there's nothing good or bad about stuff, except we made a bad connection. And now, in the average person's thinking, goodness has to include certain stuff. You don't say you're living a good life if you don't have this and that, this and that. Do you hear it? So now we read the 23rd Psalm and say, surely goodness will follow me all the days of my life, and we're thinking stuff. God's going to give me this, and he's going to give me that. The Lord giveth, and the hurricane taketh away. Church, listen. I want my mind to follow what David was thinking when he said, surely goodness will follow me. You can't possibly imagine a shepherd shepherding sheep and having wagons full of junk goods going with him in the wilderness. That's not the image. This is not about stuff. In fact, I want to say, surely goodness will hunt me all the days of my life. I want to say, David is thinking about the Holy Spirit doing God's good work in us day after day after day. Can you hear this? Surely the Holy Spirit will be hunting me down every day to do God's good work in me. Brothers and sisters, you don't have to hunt God down. His Spirit will hunt you down if you'll have an open heart. His Spirit will be looking for you day after day after day if you'll have an open heart. Surely the Holy Spirit will hunt me down every day and show me God's favor, do God's work in me, and make me morally beautiful. I want to be captured day after day by the Holy Spirit and allow him to do his perfect work in me. Surely the perfect work, the goodness of the Holy Spirit, is going to affect us every day of our lives. Can you hear that, church? But he didn't just say, surely goodness will. He also said, I know it's translated mercy. Some of your Bibles translate it steadfast love. It's the Hebrew word chesed, which is the equivalent for our New Testament word grace. Steadfast love. Do you remember I've told you this? God loves you because he's loving, not because you're lovable. Right? Some days you're more lovable than other days. Right? Some of you have many more lovable days than some of us less fortunate ones. All right. The good shepherd doesn't love you because you're a lovable person and then ignore you when you're not so lovable. That's not the way this works. Surely, listen, surely The Holy Spirit is hunting you down every day to share the grace of God with you. Every day, the Holy Spirit is following you, looking for an opportunity to treat you better than what you deserve. Can you hear this, church? When you're following the Good Shepherd, the Holy Spirit is following you. And as the Good Shepherd gets you in different places in life, the Holy Spirit has an opportunity to do good work in you. And as the Holy Spirit gets you in another place, as the Good Shepherd gets you in another place, the Holy Spirit has an opportunity to treat you better than what you deserve. And every day on this adventure of life, as we move forward and we find ourselves in different life experiences, the Holy Spirit is seizing every one of them to do God's work in us and to affirm God's grace in us. Can you hear this, church? So it works this way. I watch Christ, the Good Shepherd, and the Holy Spirit watches me. I keep my eye on Christ, and the Holy Spirit keeps his eye on me. Church, our band sings from time, "Your goodness comes running after me." That's this passage, right? The Good Shepherd's goal is not for us to wander around in the wilderness forever. The Good Shepherd has a plan that is greater than forever being in the wilderness. Yes, the Good Shepherd knows where the green pastures are, but they're only temporary. Every pasture in life is a temporary place that you have to move on from, right? You can't stay in one pasture forever. He knows where the refreshing water is, but you have to move on. You can't stay at the same spring your whole life. It is a temporary thing. The Good Shepherd knows the paths of righteousness. He knows how to turn our souls, but they're all temporary. The valley of the shadow of death, it's temporary. We walk through it. Nobody lives there. The table that is rolled out for us in front of our enemies, it gets rolled up, put in the backpack, and we move on. Often the Good Shepherd anoints our heads with oil because it needs to be refreshed. Often he refills our cup because life consumes our blessings. Goodness and mercy are delightful experiences, but they're temporary and we move on. Brothers and sisters, the flock was not designed to live in the wilderness forever. So, the Good Shepherd's goal is to lead the flock home. Can you hear this? Your Good Shepherd has one plan for you, and that is to get you home safely. His desire is more than just to keep you, to help you survive in a broken world. He has a bigger goal, and the bigger goal is to guide you home. This home is stated very clearly if you look at your Bible. And I shall return and live in the house of Yahweh forever. It is the shepherd's desire to meet your greatest need, and that is eternal life. Church, the Good Shepherd knows your soul. He values your soul. You are precious in his sight, and it is his passionate desire to guide you through this broken world and into Yahweh's house. Could you listen to Jesus in John's gospel when he says, "I am the good shepherd"? Listen to what he says. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. I want you to listen to this. Your good shepherd is greater than just a guide for one lifetime. Your good shepherd says, I'm going to teach you my voice. And that at some time, at some place, I'm going to meet you. And I'm going to whisper your name. And I'm going to take you back to the home that I've prepared for you. Church. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Do you believe that? Or have you bought the economic idea that good is goods? And I've got way too many goods collected. I got way too many goods stashed away. And I'm just not sure that the good God is talking about is as good as the good I'm talking about. Is it possible that the beauty and the majesty and the wonder of heaven loses its appeal because we have mystified the very first idea in the verse, what is really good? Church, is it really best for the sheep and the flock to be perpetually in the wilderness? Is it really best to simply have a life of roaming from one oasis to the next? Or ought this not all be moving in some more meaningful and some more beautiful direction? It is God's good desire. It is the purpose for which you were created, to pass through this lifetime in the grace of God and enter into a place that your soul was prepared to abide forever. That's God's good design. That's his purpose, church. And if you have permitted the goods of this world to recreate your values, would you be open to the Good Shepherd doing a little turning on you today? Remember, we said he restores my soul means he turns my soul. I wonder if you would let the Good Shepherd, I wonder if you'd let the Holy Spirit do a little turning on you today. Let's ask ourselves an honest and serious question. Would it really be hard for you to give up whatever you have right now to abide in the house of the Lord forever? Has the house of the Lord become so nebulous that you would say, I wouldn't want to risk losing what I have because Yahweh's house may not be before I make up my mind, how big are the TVs in Yahweh's house? Before I make up my mind, can I take my golf clubs with me? Before I make up my mind, I'd like to see the garage I get to have in Yahweh's house. I'm not sure it's up to my standards. Church, Church? Before I go, what kind of vacations do they have? I'm really looking forward to some. Do you see what happens? We have allowed economic definition of good to even taint the wonder of the house of the Lord. I can make you one guarantee. It's better than you ever imagined. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it has never entered into the heart of man. It's never entered into the imagination of man what God has prepared for those who love him. Can you hear that? Can you hear that whatever Yahweh's house is, it's better than you've ever imagined? Whatever Yahweh's house is, it is a place of beauty and wonder, splendor and amazement. Whatever Yahweh's house is, the thing that makes it infinitely better than what you can imagine is our good shepherd is there. He is seated upon a throne. He rules and reigns for the good of those he created and for his own. Church, you were not created by God to spend millennium wandering from green pasture to still water to green pasture to still water. You were created by God to make one pass through the wilderness and then enter into the life that is true life. I also want you to know, church, that you only can get to Yahweh's house by following the Good Shepherd. Church, there's no other way there. I know you hear in our culture all these other spiritual things. Church, they're myths. There is one way to get home, and that's following the Good Shepherd. Do you remember that he said to us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's only one good shepherd. There's only one good shepherd who knows the way home, and his name is Jesus Christ. Some of you have trusted that name. There's been a moment in your life where the good shepherd seemed beautiful to you. You heard his promise to forgive you for all your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And your heart said yes. But somehow or another, you don't feel about him today the way you felt about him when you first said yes. Is it possible that the Holy Spirit has hunted you down this morning and wants to do something good and reconnect you to your good shepherd? Is it possible that the Holy Spirit is hunting you down at this moment right here and wants to give you grace, saving grace? Some of you have never had that beautiful moment with Christ. You've never come to that moment where you trusted him completely. You've never been to that holy moment where you said to Christ, everything that is broken and ugly about me, I surrender to you. And everything that is virtuous and good about you, I accept. I am accepting you as my Lord and Savior. Is it possible that the Holy Spirit is hunting you down right now and he wants to do the best thing that can be done in the human heart, and that is to transform you from a sinner into a saint? Is it possible that the grace of God is knocking at your door this morning and saying to you, trust me. Trust me. I'll get you home. Wouldn't it be a good thing this morning to simply say to Christ, I trust you. I trust you. There are unique life experiences. We don't get to create them ourselves. They're gifts of God. They are the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Sadly, we sometimes don't recognize them because they come to us not packaged the way we want. Church, is it possible that you've grown too attached to some of the stuff, some of the goods of this world? Is it possible that you might be having a life experience that's not pleasant and it's not fun? Is it possible that it could be the goodness of the Holy Spirit hunting you down, the grace of the Holy Spirit hunting you down and saying, you've grown too attached to stuff and you've become disattached from the Good Shepherd? Church, I'm asking you, is it possible? Is it possible that some of the difficulties you're confronting, some of the struggles you might be having, is it possible that it might be the Holy Spirit saying, there's something better than this. Let go of your junk and start following the shepherd again. Church, I had an experience a couple years ago where I'm absolutely sure the Holy Spirit made me think this thought. If it never gets any better than this, are you still a follower of Jesus Christ? Church, are we following him because we find him beautiful? We find him gracious. We find him good. Or are we following him because, as Jesus said, you ate the bread and the fish and you were satisfied? Church, I wonder if some of you are having life experiences today that aren't what you want, and they're simply the Holy Spirit trying to be good to you and show you grace and ask you, instead of putting all your focus on this stuff, to change your focus and one more time, focus freshly on the Lord is my shepherd. How well am I following him? Am I really anxious to go where he's leading me? There's one other idea I want to share with you. The word that's translated, I shall dwell, the rabbis say, should be translated, I shall return to dwell. The rabbis say that instead of the idea of I just dwell there, it's the idea of going home. I am returning to where I belong. Listen, let's read it that way. The Lord is my shepherd. Surely, goodness and grace will hunt me down all the days of my life, and I will return and dwell in Yahweh's house. Why? What is the idea of return? It's very simply this. We weren't created to live in this broken world. Church, if you read the good book, we were created for paradiso. We were created for paradise. We were created to live in the presence of the Lord. Our souls were designed to have communion with God. Our souls weren't designed to be kicked around and battered around and insulted and abused in a broken world we live in. Your soul wasn't designed for it. No wonder life is hard. But your soul was designed to abide in the presence of the Lord forever. And the good shepherd says, I'm going to get you back where you belong. I don't know if you've ever been away from home for long. The longest I've been away from home is when I went to Israel for 2 weeks. It was fun being there, but I was ready to be home. Church. I got tired. The closer I got to home, the more I was annoyed with anything that was blocking my way. Stand in line for this, stand in line. I don't want to stand in line. I want to go home. Have you ever had a longing to go home? You just want, you want to go home. I'm wasted and can't find my way home. All right. That's this psalm. If I'm following the good shepherd the way he should be followed, the Holy Spirit's hunting me down. He's doing his best work in me. He's showing me grace. Instead of loathing the idea of giving my stuff up, I start developing a longing to be with the Lord. Church. It's not a morbid longing. It's not an escapism. It's just the soul's desire to be truly where it belongs. The soul's desire to be in a place where I'm not battered by sin anymore. The soul's desire to be in a place where I don't do anything stupid ever again. The soul's desire to abide in the presence of the Lord forever. That is a healthy and beautiful thing, and it is the work of God in us. And if you don't experience any of that, I'm begging you one more time to reconnect to the Good Shepherd. And so David said, here is an experience map. The best experience that ever can happen in your life is for the Lord to become your shepherd. The best experience you can ever have is for the Lord to become your shepherd. He said, here's what you're going to find out. When the Lord is your shepherd, you'll not want. He'll get you to green pastures. He'll refresh you. He'll restore your soul. He'll lead you in the right pathways. If the Lord is your shepherd, you still have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's a normal part of life, but you don't have to fear evil. And when you get through the valley, he's going to roll out the table and he's going to have a banquet with you. He's going to anoint your head with oil. He's going to refill your cup. And goodness and grace are going to chase you every day of your life. And ultimately, because he is the good shepherd, he's going to get you home. And the best of all experiences is you're going to abide with the Lord forever. Amen. Church, he is worth following. Oh, Heavenly Father, what words cannot do, your Spirit can. And what needs most doing in our heart, only you can do. And I want to pray specifically for those who have not come to know the Lord as their shepherd. I want to pray specifically for those who have never had that holy moment in their life when Jesus seems beautiful and forgiveness seems available and hope is created. I pray today, Good Shepherd, would you please find your lost sheep and grant them goodness and grace. I pray for those who know the Lord is their shepherd, but they've strayed away. They've lost their connection. They care more about the goods than the giver. The shepherd doesn't seem so valuable to them compared to other things. I pray that you'd open the eyes of their heart today and they could see Jesus in a fresh way. They could see him in his beauty. They could see him in his goodness and in his grace. They could see him in all that he is that makes him altogether beautiful. I pray for those who are walking with you. Won't you please bless them? May they one more time feel affirmed by you as the Good Shepherd. May their sense of faith in you rise. Then I pray that Christ would receive the glory for all of this, both now and forever. Amen.